On the line with us, and I'm glad he is because I'm sure he's much in demand today, is C.W. Nevius, sports writer for the Press Democrat. C.W., thanks for being here.
You bet, Pat. Good to talk to you.
I'm holding in my hand my autographed baseball from Willie McCovey and feeling sad about his passing. And what a moment for the Bay Area.
Well, it is, and I wonder how many people are doing exactly that. I wonder how many people are looking at their autographed baseball or baseball card or something. I mean, he was so accessible. And I think in having done this for decades, the number of really, truly top Hall of Fame players who are also really great people, you can count them on one hand.
Wow.
And Willie McCovey was at the top of that list. What a great guy. Ambassador for the game and for the Giants, really.
Oh, absolutely. And up until his death, he was a great legendary member of the Giants family. And, I met him only once, and it was probably 20 years ago, and on the field at the park. And he, you know, first thing I thought was, he is huge. He's huge. He's a big man.
Exactly.
And he
came to all those games, and it wasn't easy for him. I mean, the knee problems were with him his entire career, and it just got worse after he retired. And eventually, he was in a wheelchair, he lost a leg, but he came to the game over and over.
Yeah.
And the story, I was just talking to another reporter, and he was saying the first time he met him was at Candlestick Park, and by coincidence, he and Willie McCovey happened to be on the elevator together, and they were the only two on the elevator, and he was so agog, he was afraid to even say anything.
Yeah.
And McCovey, as you might expect, reached across to him and said, "Hi, I'm Willie McCovey." And like he didn't need an introduction, but that would be him, to reach out like that. And he's just a remarkable guy, and it's a tribute. You know, the Giants, the Willie Mack Award for the most inspirational player, it's not the Willie Mays Award, as great a player as he was. It's not the Barry Bonds Award, as great a player as it was, the Willie McCovey Award. And that says it perfectly, I think.
And representative of that award, and I think you're right on the money here, CW, is that it represented many things. It represented leadership in the clubhouse. It represented what you did outside of the baseball field. But also, I think, you know, with the amount of dignity and genuine connection that Willie McCovey exhibited, I think that has to be part of it when the players vote on that award too.
Absolutely. And you know, there's so many people, and it's understandable. I mean, you become a star, and it becomes very much of a, you know, you're the star of the show. It's all about you. And that was never true with him. And I thought one of the tweets that we saw just kind of represented the thing perfectly was Brandon Belt saying, "I wish I'd had the courage to talk to him when I was a younger player, because once I did, I realized how accessible he was, A, and B, how much knowledge he had to share." And he certainly didn't force himself on anyone, but he was available. If you'd like to talk to him, he was more than ready to talk. He had a lot to say. He had kind of a sneaky sense of humor that really made it was just a, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to talk to him.
So he always dealt with the media in the same kind of way that we think about him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You could go, I mean, there is an aura. Someone's in the Hall of Fame. There's an aura to them. And you kind of think to yourself, is it okay to approach him?
Yeah.
I guess it's all right. And that was never true with him. You know, when you walked over to him and said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so," he would be great to meet you. You know, he's just a gentleman. I just the kind of person who just like to encourage baseball to always have a person like that available. And he'll be missed. That's all there is to it.
And one of the things I am happy about, and I'm always happy when we're talking about a great human being, is the fact that the Giants organization honored him, you know, while he lived. And certainly, of course, there's the statue in the Cove, and it's nice to know that Willie McCovey knew how much he was loved and respected.
The Giants do a great job of that, and that's a good thing. You know, it's funny, Pat, because when they put that statue up across the water, I thought, why is it so far away?
Yeah, you know, me too.
But I live right down there by the ballpark, and I run by that statue probably four or five times a week, and more it seems perfect. You know, he's backlit against the bay, he's over McCovey Cove, and you look and see that, and that swing looks like Willie McCovey, and it's almost as if he has his own separate area of the of the park. And I know fans are going by there today and leaving flowers and so forth. I think it was a great choice, it turns out, to put it there.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it does make perfect sense. How do the Giants, how does the Giants organization honor him moving forward? I mean, you're here, we're in the off season. What do they do?
Well, they've done a lot to honor him. You know, it was poignant. Last night, I had to walk up and meet my wife and walk by the ballpark. And on the screen there, just a single visual was the number 44 on that screen. They put it up. Nobody in the ballpark, you know, didn't know if anybody had seen it or not. But here he is. This is 44. This is Willie McCovey. And I know they'll do something that will really... They'll do it the right way. They always do.
Yes.
They've got a great sense of history and a great sense of their players. And nobody was prouder of being a Giant than Willie McCovey. Even though he played just, you know, he played in San Diego, he had a cup of coffee in Oakland at the end of his career, he was a Giant. And that's all it was to it. And I'm sure they'll do a great job of that.
Yeah, they always are very good at that. That's for sure. And I know that, of course, you know, Kruk and Kipe were, you know, obviously very, very touched and saddened by his passing yesterday at the age of 80.
Absolutely.
I remember Kruk saying not that long ago that one of his favorite parts of the job was, you know, standing beside Willie McCovey while somebody got the Willie Mack Award. You know,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I've got kind of a silly story about Willie McCovey. If you'd like to,
yes.
I came to San Francisco in 1980, and that was his last year. So I didn't see him play too much. But one of his great passions was golf. He loved to play golf.
Uh huh.
And he would play the AT&T golf tournament every year, and I was down there covering it. And we were at the practice range, and I was talking to somebody else, and this guy next to me was talking to his friend, and this guy fancies himself like an expert, you know, in golf. And McCovey's hitting some balls, and the guy is like, look at his grip. His grip is all wrong. And that stance, I mean, he's going to be able to hit the ball with a stance like that. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, he's close enough. McCovey's got to be able to hear him saying that stuff. And McCovey tees the ball up, takes out his driver, hits it over the 300-yard sign, over the fence at the end of the driving range, and into a tree. And then he didn't say a word. He just turned around and looked at the guy like, how is my stance on that one? You know, I mean, he could still hit the ball a mile. It was really impressive.
Well, the guy who was talking that smack, he must not have known much about Willie McCovey, because I have never seen him play golf, but I would certainly agree that he must be a great driver. So I'm happy to hear that story. And,
let's just say we didn't hear much from him after that. That was about the end of his golf tips.
That's the silent silencing there. Yeah, and and that's kind of a Willie McCovey way to do it too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So that's his volume. It's about the man. That's exactly right. Rather than turn around, how'd you like, you just, you know, enough said, just a look.
Yeah.
How'd you like that?
So it was a big part of the junior Giants and the glove drives and all of that. And I think you were absolutely right when you began the conversation saying that, you know, people are looking at and so glad that they have some kind of memorabilia for Willie McCovey. And he was a great Giant and such a great ambassador for the game. Hard to imagine a better one.
It really is true, and I think that's right. I think people all over the Bay, well, all over the country probably, are telling the story at the time I met Willie Mack, the time this happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll bet every one of them is somehow involved saying what a gracious, thoughtful gentleman he was, because he just was. He did it right, and that should not be overlooked.
Don't you wish every baseball player treated the media as well, CW?
Oh, they all do, Pat. They're just terrific guys. Yes, I do wish that. But,
yeah.
There are some, and I'll tell you what. Somebody like Brandon Belt, who just got the award for Nick Peters Award for being most cooperative with the Giants with the media. There's somebody that learned from Willie Mack, and he at the end one of the last games. I was at one of the last games, and it hadn't been a good game for him, and he stood in front of his locker and he answered questions. And I said to him afterwards, I hope somebody's telling you that that's really great that you're doing that. And he said, well, we talk when we do well, we should talk when we don't do well. And I had the feeling that that's the kind of thing he learned from Willie McCovey.
Do Do you think that's the last conversation you'll have with Brandon Milt in San Francisco?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
It might be. You know, it's a different topic, but
no, I know. I think it's reasonable for us to segue here because you know I can't let you go without saying, okay, winter, you know, baseball meetings coming up. They've got to make a decision soon at who to a person who can then make a bunch more decisions.
Well, that's true, and this will be off the record. I don't want you to tell anybody about this.
But, no, I won't.
I'm actually thinking about writing a column about that because. For all the talk about how we're going to shake this team up and we're going to do this, and, you know, and then they fired the strength and conditioning coach. I mean, that was
hilarious to me. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to, you know, it's going to be a whole new world. We're going to bring in this baseball operations guy. However, Brian Sabian will still be in charge, so this guy's sort of an assistant. You know? And everybody's on the trading block, but I don't know if we want to trade Madison Bumgarner because we like him and. You know, and we talked before, you know, the idea that Bruce Bochy is in the last year of his contract, if you really think he's going to be the person that you want to go about, you know, be the manager for years to come, you'd extend him now, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So now he's going to be kind of a lame duck.
Yes.
And I'm not convinced, as I said to you before, I'm not convinced that if you're going to bring in young guys, if you're going to bring in a revamp of the team, an old school manager like Bochy is the guy, but they seem to be sort of standing pat with the hope that a couple of additions, you know, maybe we'll just fill a few holes and it'll all work out. But, you know, Giants fans watch the World Series and they have to be saying, why did we get rid of Eduardo Nunez again?
Yeah, that's right.
We gave him up for a couple of minor league players and he played great.
Yes, he did.
They've been looking for a third. Anyway, I think the fans have got to be wondering, I thought we were going to do a big revamp. What is this big revamp?
So based on your incredible and intimate sports knowledge, C.W. Nevius, when should we schedule you next to talk about the new Giants management?
Well, I think you're onto something with the winter meetings. That's for sure. It's got some of that going on. I don't. You know, the problem with the and you know, this is not an original thought with me. They've got some big contracts and the conventional wisdom would be you've got to move some of those contracts. They're not really doing that well. But unfortunately, they're not value-added players at this point.
Yeah.
Bumgarner, would you trade Bumgarner? Yes, I would trade Bumgarner. Yeah. But you might have wanted to trade him last year. You know, he was injured, obviously, but his velocity is down. He's not the pitcher that he was. He was a phenomenal Giant. God bless him. You know, we'll never, ever forget that World Series performance.
Yep.
But yeah, you're going to have to take some of your assets and convert them into different and younger assets. They had one of the highest payrolls in baseball, and to go back-to-back sub 500, that says shakeup. That says major shakeup. And I don't know if they have the stomach for it right now. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, if they don't have the stomach to do that, I don't think a lot of Giants fans are going to have the stomach to go watch. You know, I really don't.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. I walked by the, as I said, I walked by the ballpark yesterday, and there's a door there where it says tickets, so you can go in the door there, and you can sign up for season tickets and so forth. And they have a metal detector, and there was a woman standing there. You know, she operates the metal detector, and I thought to myself, you look like the loneliest person in San Francisco. Right? I didn't see, and there was nobody lined up to get in that door. You know. And I think the Giants are afraid that if they don't stock it with, you know, veterans and people that they know, that the fans will not be energized. But I think the fans would be energized.
I do too.
Fresh up and coming players that they could hitch their wagon to.
Well, so, CW, I'm going to have to stop you there because we're running up against the clock. But thank you so much for being here today. Sure appreciate it.